Absolutely love watching movies. It's one of my guilty pleasures. And a few years back, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, it's always been something that you'll see in the movies where they do like the flashback and the flash forward, especially when you start talking about time travel movies and things like that. You can see that there's, you know, this continuity, and at first the story seems a little broken up, and eventually it all makes sense. Actually, that wasn't something that they invented. It's something that the church has been doing for years with its liturgy. Because when we look at today's readings, and we look especially in this season of Easter, you're going to see kind of a pattern. You're going to see, in many ways, the current day, when we talk about Paul and Barnabas and what they're doing. Then we kind of flash forward, and we do the future shot, where we see what the result of it is in John, you know, when we get to his book of Revelation. And then, of course, the gospel, we get to see the root of everything. And then hopefully we can pull it all back into the present day. And let's think about what was going on with Paul and Barnabas. Of course, now they are out teaching the good news. They're going out right now. In today's reading, we hear them. They're in Turkey. They're out, and they go into a synagogue, and they start talking to people. And something in what they say resonates with the great number of people who are there. Something that they say just resonates. And I think, brothers and sisters, that's kind of what we can see, and what we understand, and what hopefully we're trying to share with other people, is that when we hear the gospel and when we hear God's word calling to our hearts, we just know that it's right. You know, when Jesus said, my flock knows me and they know my voice and I know them, he was really true. And that's really what converts hearts. That's what brings people in to the faith. And Paul and Barnabas, as they're out there, of course, you know, just like today, some of the things that we have to deal with when we proclaim the truth, when we step out of ourselves and when we stand up for what is right, when we stand up for what we know is the truth, the truth of the gospel, that we're to love other people, not hate them, we're to sow unity rather than division, we're to help those who are less fortunate than ourselves. When we step out of ourselves and do those things, there are going to be people, just like with Paul and Barnabas, who are going to not like what we're doing. Sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. Sometimes people, you know, will stand in oppression, and they'll rise up. I mean, let's face it, brothers and sisters, if any group on the face of the planet has people who whose actions are under the microscope and whose teachings are more under fire than anybody else, it's us. Why? Because we hold to the truth. We listen to the voice of our good shepherd, and we profess that, whether it's good times or bad, whether it's what people want to hear or whether it's not. But at the core of that message of love and that message of forgiveness that Jesus gives us, is something that that people just resonate with if we do it right. And each and every one of us is called to share that. You know, as we go through, then we fast forward a little bit. We jump to the future, and what do we see? Brothers and sisters, we see a multitude of people. And I don't know about you, but I was a business major, which means that my best friend actually drug me kicking and screaming through the nose through business calculus so that I could actually get my undergraduate degree. But math really isn't my strong point. I'm good at adding and subtracting most of the time. You know, I do a fair job there. I can balance a checkbook and, you know, do stuff like that. But when it comes to, you know, the really difficult math, I have problems. But I know that when we get together and we look at how many people are in church, you know, and sometimes we get a little bit confused about this definition of what a saint is. You do realize that there's basically a little bit more than 3,300 people over the course of 2,000 years that Christ, you know, has said are in heaven, that we know are in heaven. We call them saints. You know, we've got this process where we can see that we believe that God is showing us that they're in heaven. But when we hear this reading from John today, and this is one of the big ones, that there's a multitude of people standing before the throne. And while, you know, my grasp of math isn't all that great, I think 3,300 and multitude don't add up. So basically what that means is there are a lot more people in heaven than we think. You know, it's not a select club. It's not that God is trying to hold us to some perfect, impossible standard. There are all kinds of people up there in heaven who are not only praying for us, but you know, helping us, but giving us an example and giving us the hope that everything that God had told us is true. You know, we can see that these people, and many of the ones that we hear in today's reading, they're talking about martyrs who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and their garments made white. But brothers and sisters, each and every one of us, Each and every time we go to confession, each and every time we receive the Eucharist, each and every time, you know, we admit our faults and tell God, look, I know I'm not perfect and I'm trying to get better, and hopefully we're learning from our mistakes, we join their ranks. Every time we stand up for what we know is right in the face of what, you know, the world is trying to tell us, we shouldn't stand. Oh, that's not right. That's mean to people. You can't say no. You can't tell people they can't do this or that. People should be able to do whatever they want. But deep inside each and every one of us, we know that that just can't be how it works. That's that voice that Jesus is talking about. That's what he's telling us. But there are all these people in heaven who can show us that this is possible. And then, of course, we do the real good flashback to where we hear Jesus talking about him being the Good Shepherd. And, of course, today is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Because of the cycle of the readings, we don't get the longer version of this. But it's very important that we can see that really what Jesus is doing is guiding us. You know, last week we got to hear this wonderful discourse, probably one of my favorite ones with St. Peter, where, you know, Jesus finally reconciles in his love and his mercy. He shows the patience that he needed to teach Peter what it meant to be a true disciple and to give him the strength, of course, after Pentecost, and he received the Holy Spirit, to be able to go out and do some pretty amazing things. You know, he said in this type of thing, he said, Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know I love you. And he asks him three times, and each and every time that Peter goes through it, he sounds a little more disheartened. But really, Jesus is trying to get him to understand. And of course, the response is Jesus will say, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. You know, and it's one of those things that we can see that even though we're not perfect, our Good Shepherd will call us to do things. Each and every one of us, since it is Good Shepherd Sunday, you know, we're called by our God, by Jesus Christ, to be his emissaries in the world, to go out and to spread that message of love and forgiveness and mercy, which is really at the heart of who we are as Catholic Christians. Now, of course, you know, when we start talking about Good Shepherd Sunday, it's also sometimes called Vocation Sunday. And each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, is called to that basic mission. But it looks different for everybody. You know, some people are called to do what myself and Father Rich and Father Reg and, you know, our deacons and everybody are do. We proclaim the word in more of a public setting. But each and every one of us, apart from things like that, is called to be active in the world, to show people that there's a better way, to actually pass on that gospel to everyone that we come to. Maybe if you're not going to do it in words, although, as a Dominican, you know, words are kind of what we do. You know, so, you know, the idea of preach always and when necessary use words, you know, we kind of reverse that a little bit. You know, preach always and when necessary just be quiet and, you know, let people figure it out for themselves. But as we do that, you know, it's that example that we provide. Some people are called to be moms. Some people are called to be dads. Some people are called, you know, to be chaste, single people who live the life of love in service of others. But God calls us to share this message because we've heard his voice, because we have, you know, because we've been able to hear the truth. You know, it's a gift that's been given to us and we can't hold it in. We've got to share it with other people. That's what we're called to do. So now we get to make that that super Hollywood move and we jump to the future and what it means to us. It means, brothers and sisters, that we go out and we share our vocation. We share this call to do that with other people. And by the way, I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to guess that there are some younger people, and I'm a later vocation, so if you want to see how young I'm talking about, you know, you can ask me about that. But I'm willing to bet that somewhere out here in the people that are listening, there's someone who's thinking about a vocation to religious life, whether it being a sister or a brother or a deacon or a priest. You know, follow through on that. Look into it. One of the neat things about, you know, these vocations and these things that God calls us to is not the fact that we have to make a decision right now and on this fact and we're stuck with it for all of our lives. God is patient enough that he allows us the opportunity to experiment and to see what works best for us. So just kind of keep that in mind. Each and every one of us has a vocation. Each and every one of us is called to, just like Paul and Barnabas, even if we're going to have to take it on the chin every now and then, to stand up for the truth and to send Jesus' message of peace and love, forgiveness, and mercy to all those to whom we meet. The best part, brothers and sisters, is that we don't have to do it alone. He's given us this wonderful thing we call the church, the people who are sitting next to you, and yes, for those of you on this side, we're even talking about the folks way over here that you might not see except for on the way in and out. You know, we're talking about the folks who are sitting over at Our Lady of Lourdes and people who are at Catholic churches all over the world. We are one big community, even though we might look different from time to time and we might do everything, but we've been given this wonderful thing. And not only that, Jesus has given us the sacraments. You know, he's given us in those times when we need to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and start fresh, we've got the sacrament of confession. When it comes time for us to get to need that fuel, he gives us his very body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist that we receive so that we can go out and do that. You know, it sounds like a scary thing to take the gospel out into the world, but when you look at all the help that we have, it's not that bad. So I'd like to ask you this, you know, as in the context of your vocation, how often do you really take that message out there? How often do you take advantage of the gifts that Christ gives us to be his messenger to those around you? And if you haven't done that in a while, give it a shot. I guarantee you it'll go better than you think. Because two guys like Paul and Barnabas went into a hostile environment, and Paul and all of the people who founded our church, the people who took the message of the apostles out into the world, were facing no less difficult times than we are right now. They were in a hostile environment. People were looking at them with all kinds of suspicion and all kinds of craziness. And look what they did. Brothers and sisters, they changed the world with the message of Jesus. We can do the same if we just do, each and every one of us, try to do our part.